In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's first gospel reading is probably one of the most well-known miracles in scriptures. The feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. If you read on in the Gospel of Matthew, you actually will find in the next chapter, after this account, another very similar account. And there we're talking about the feeding of the 4,000, and there we have 7 loaves of bread and a few little fishes. That is how it is written down there. I mention this fact because if you listen to some of the so-called Bible scholars, they will make a big deal out of this, and you will hear opinions about that these two accounts are actually one, and they are the same miracle, and that's basically a duplicate. The second account would be. Well, the scholars will actually go so far to dissect this and scientifically, quote-unquote, off proof to you that this theory is the most likely. But despite all that, you ask yourself the question, what did they actually prove? Other that they actually just clustered a doubt on Holy Scripture. Scripture in the Orthodox Church, we take scriptures and especially the Gospels as a divine inspired witness and an account to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Fathers that we're celebrating today and the first 6 ecumenical councils, they didn't dissect scriptures. And they would not dream of it coming up with a theory like that. They only were concerned with truth. They had no issues that there were 2 accounts in the Gospel, one chapter after the other, that sounded very similar. That they would have pointed out, probably, and they did so, that apparently these 2 accounts were so important to us that they both were mentioned. So they didn't get hung up on these technical issues. They actually asked themselves what these accounts actually mean in our life. What do they say to us? The commemoration of the fathers of the first 6 ecumenical councils, they explained and they firmly defended the basis of our faith. And that they have a real meaning to us even today. They took scriptures and tradition as what it is, a firm witness to the faith of the church. They prayed and let themselves guide by the Holy Spirit to find answers to the pressing questions and attacks of the faith. That is the attitude we should have to this today. Our faith was always being attacked during time by people that found it inconvenient and not fitting in their times or their lifestyles. And today, there's absolutely no exception to that. Technical discussions will not bring us any closer by any means that will be a distraction. We will have to turn to what Jesus Christ and the Church teaches us and always have taught us and hold firmly unto that. As I mentioned, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the one that I would think is the most probably well-known miracle. 5,000 is actually not really the total amount of people that were fed there. You have to read closely. It says 5,000 men besides women and children. So I think there would be a fair amount that you could say you could easily double that number. The people that followed Jesus did something that we should strive to do too. They were so moved by this man, this Christ, and what he had to say, and they followed him unquestionable. They left the city not caring about earthly needs, so far that they left the city without food. They heard that he was about to leave. He wanted to be alone to pray. But they followed him, and they didn't wait a minute, and they followed him right away. And what does Christ do? Remember, he actually wanted to go be alone to pray, to have some alone time, we would say today. Well, he didn't turn them away. As scripture says, he showed compassion unto them. And how was that compassion being showed to them? Not only that he didn't send them away, he actually went even farther. He healed the sick. That's the first account that is being said. So, and then it becomes later in the day, and they're becoming hungry. And then the disciples had this idea, well, now let's dismiss them so that they actually have time to go back to the city to get something to eat. And he turns around and says, no, let them stay. And he actually puts the burden on the disciples and said, you feed them. And the disciples, of course, go back and have a very valid reason to say, well, the only thing that we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What does he do then? He takes these 5 loaves and he takes the 2 fishes and he gives thanks. He gives thanks. He's the Lord himself, but he turns to his Father and gives thanks. He gives thanks for the earthly gifts that were provided to us. In today's world, we take many things for granted. If you're hungry today, and we go in our pantry or in our fridge and it is empty, or just it doesn't even have to be empty, it just hasn't the stuff that we desire just at that moment. Well, we have the luxury to go into our car and go to a Kroger, Reynolds, HEB, what you name it. They are meanwhile often open 24 hours a day, and we can shop for food. We even have the luxury to buy any kind of food, even food that is not in season. If we eat in winter and we design strawberries, well, no problem. We might have to pay for it, but we certainly can get it. It is becoming for most people a process that is absolutely natural and that is granted. There's not even a second thought about that. But what we should think about is who made this actually possible? And what a lot of people are coming up with is saying, well, it's we, it's our work, it's our involvement, it's our process we are now able to produce food that is out of season. So that is our achievement. Well, here in this area, let a hurricane move in or be on its way moving. And what does that happen first? The stores are actually closing. And the food that we're taking for granted, that we can chop 24 hours a day to 7 days a week, is becoming not so granted anymore. A couple of years ago, when the hurricane moved in, I realized how I myself, I actually so accustomed to that, and I'm coming from a country where that you normally don't have that luxury. Their shops are closing, meanwhile, at 8 p.m., and that was it. And on Saturday, they're closing at noon, and that was it. No Sundays. But I meanwhile got accustomed to that, and when the hurricane moved in here, I saw myself faced with a situation that I actually have to shop in a crowd and even get basic foods, and probably didn't even get it because I went out too late and there was no bottled water or anything that I should have stocked up on. Well, regardless of any economical or health related or other concerns about this constant availability of things we need and want, What we most importantly have to be learned is to give thanks to the one who really makes this possible. God is providing for us. He is the giver of life. And that includes the earthly things. And that includes the earthly needs. He would not have given us the skills to bake bread. If he would not have given us the skills to break bread, we would not have bread. And if he would have not made it possible to grow the wheat on the field, and so that we are able to harvest it, we would not have that. And it is his discretion to give and to take. If you look into the life of the saints, and especially into the monastic saints in that case, they understood that to the fullest. They tried to live a very simple life, and were thankful to the Lord for the little they were given. I'm reading currently the life of the elder Paisios, and he treats everything that he is getting as a gift, and might it only be this little banana that he got from some visitor who got there. And what does he actually do with it? He gives thanks to it and gives it to the next visitor as a gift. Unfortunately, most of us will not have the ability to live what we're calling now off the grid and live a radical, simple life. But what we all can do is to be thankful to what we have. And at the very minimum, that would be to pray and thank before and after partake a meal. The other way to give thanks is to share. If we have the means to live comfortably, then it is our obligation to share some of that with other people. And the sum should be the poorest around us, starting by food and any other necessary needs that people might have. And as prayer is not something that is seasonable, what we're doing during a fasting season, preferable during Red Lent, so is almsgiving not. Almsgiving is something that we do all year around. That almsgiving is emphasized during a fasting season, it is exactly that. It is an emphasis. It is basically reminding us from that. But we cannot refrain the rest of the year. Basically, if I gave my share during Great Lent, I cannot go after Pascha comes around, okay, I did my share for the year. That's not how that works. The other way of sharing as an Orthodox Christian is to tithe. To give back to the Lord part of what it is being entrusted to us. And it is not only being done because it is a blessed thing to do and an obligation, it is actually returning the part that is the Lord's part. It was not even ours in the first place. That tenth always belonged to the Lord, and we have to give it back. There's something almost miraculously about tithing. And this parish can certainly attest to that. This tithe, this parish is not only receiving tithe from the parishioners, it is itself tithing to the diocese. So that tenth that you give, from all that income, the tenth is being given to the diocese. And this parish did that faithfully. It did that faithfully since even during the very beginning of this parish, when it was very little. And this parish actually really never had a problem to pay bills. And I think part of that, and that is why I'm calling it the miracle, is part because the parish held onto it, and it held this as a God-given command to do so. And tithing is probably the most just way to give. It's not a fixed amount. It's something that is the tenth, meaning, well, if you have little, you give little, and if you have a little bit more, you give more. It's always the same part. It's the tenth. And even if it's only a cent that you can give, that saint will be blessed, and probably even more so as for someone who has the ability to give more. So today, there are these things I would like to summarize what you can imitate onto today's gospel. First of all, you should have compassion to everyone. And I stress that. The compassion, to be compassionate, to be helpful, is not ending at the boundaries of this parish or being an Orthodox Christian. That includes everyone. To follow Christ, no matter what, and not worrying about earthly things. Third, to give thanks to the one who is providing for us at all times. And fourth, to give back to the Lord and the poor. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.